Let's take our hymn book now to turn to an old song, hymn number 94, first and last stanza. Give you an invitation to come back to Promised Land anytime you can be in our neighborhood.
You cry yourself to sleep, 'cause the hurt is real and the pain cuts deep. All hope seems lost. With heartache, your closest friend and everyone else long gone. You've had to face the music on your own, but there is a sweeter song that calls you home, saying you're not. Let me wipe away your every tear. My love, I've never loved your side. I have seen you through the darkest nights, and I'm the one who's loved you all your life. All your life. Faithful and true.
Special. You know, our speaker this morning really needs no introduction to all of us Promised Land folks and all. We watched him through the years, some over 18 years, get bigger, bigger, and bigger. But you know, the last 6 months, he's grown more than all the years before. I'm going to turn the service over to Brother Trey.
Well, I do appreciate that introduction. If you will, start turning to 2 Corinthians this morning. Me and Brother Rodney have done had a good discussion on the topic this morning already in Sunday school, and I appreciate that. That kind of helped me get my head together and get ready to come before you this morning. I wanted to brag a little bit on this church real quick, though. I was fortunate enough to wake up early enough to get to the men's meeting this morning. And I was sitting there, and the whole time we were discussing about the church, about 70% of it was missions. And that is awesome to me, to see a church so involved in our missions, not only the ones here locally. It doesn't stop there. We've got people overseas spreading the word. And this morning, we're going to look at a fella, this morning and tonight, actually, we're going to look at a fella that was very devoted to spreading God's word, and that person is Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. I am strong." We see here in the beginning of this text that, first of all, we need to realize that man is weak. We are all weak. Paul was a very mighty man. He was actually, I would say, awarded the chance to get a glimpse into heaven's doors and to see what it was like. But he said, "The Lord has put this infirmity or this thorn in my flesh." I'm picking up some feedback right here or something. But I've got this thorn in my flesh to make me not speak of that, because I can't be a man that is above all the rest. You know, it made me think about my own life, and, you know, I'm a preacher. Ooh-wee. But I cannot be above one of you. I'm the same as one of you. I've lived a life just like one of you. And, you know, all man has this weakness. You know, Paul's weakness, I got tickled reading the commentary. They said the thorn in the flesh might be a woman, but I don't really think that's what it is. Later on, later on, as we read in his letters, he talks about he has to write in large print. So a lot of commentators believe that it was his eyesight that was a thorn in the flesh. I just thought I'd throw that out there to get a laugh. It could have been a number of things, you know, just like you. I don't know what your weakness is. It could be lust, private sin, anything along those lines. But we do know that we are weak. You know, no man will ever make it to heaven on his own. He's not that strong. Our bodies will never last for eternity. We need God to live that long. We need Him to be, as the verse says, sufficient for us, to take care of us. It is stunning to me to see such a man of great faith and great works as Paul humbling himself to the point and saying, I can't talk about that because God's got other plans for me. There's an old phrase, a dog has so many friends because it wags its tail, not its mouth. I was thinking about that, and you know, that needs to be a lot of our philosophy. God's people need to move their legs and not worry about their mouth. God's word needs to be spread, and that's our purpose. We need to see more of God's people getting out and doing things for God than running their mouths about how great they are. I thought that was very neat. A lot of the pastors we see on Sunday mornings, I'm not saying a lot of them because some of them are very good. I like me and my granddaddy listen to one at 7:30 every morning on Sunday mornings. But some of them, they brag and brag and brag about what they've done and what they've accomplished through God. It's what God can accomplish for you. Next, in verse 9, we see right here that God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. God found grace in us, and we all know this. He gave us something we didn't earn. That's what grace is. The grace we have, it can't be bought. It's not up for sale. I think it's MasterCard says, it's priceless. The grace God has for you is more than enough. It gets you into heaven's doors, but not only does it do that, but when God looks at you on that day and begins to judge you, after all the things you've done wrong, he still finds you innocent because his blood cleansed you. Just as I was showing the kids this morning with the rags, and can you believe a piece of charcoal will get a cloth that dirty? God is here to cleanse us and to give us that innocence on Judgment Day. Once I heard grace explained like this, a principal had called a student in the class and he had brought him to the office. The student was acting up and the principal said, here's the paddle. The kid didn't know what to do with it. The principal bent over the desk and said, you whoop me. You know, God's just like that. He's seen our lives, knows we did wrong, but yet he still gives us that gift of grace and says, you know, it doesn't matter what you do to me in the future, what you've done to me in the past, you're still saved by my grace. God doesn't care how much you've tormented him in your life prior or how much you will in the future. It's that you accept his grace. You know, it gives me chills talking about grace to think of a creator that can speak things into existence, that can breathe a sun out of his mouth and say, let there be light, but yet he cares for each and every individual one of you. Man can find strength. We see that in the verse. It says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, I talked about all men is weak. That doesn't mean that the strength is perfect in all of you. You've got to be searching out God and want to be strong in him. I think about Samson and the strongest man there ever has been and what he went through. I think about David. You know, his brother was there, I believe it's in 1 Samuel 17, and his brother said, you've come out here. You've come out to see the fight. You naughty boy, you should be back, you know, watching the sheep. But we see God became the strongest in that fight. So we can infer that David sought God and found his strength. When we finally accept defeat ourselves, when we believe that we cannot accomplish anything without God, then we'll find the victory in him. Samson, on the other hand, he looked at how he was, how strong he was physically, and he looked to the wicked woman, or that's what I'm going to call her. He said, you know, I love her more than I love God. I'm going to tell her what makes me weak. I'm going to become weak before her and not before God. And at that point, we find the loss in the situation. It's only when we look after God that we can find His strength. We find Paul in a situation. He says, I've got this thorn in my flesh. I can't live with it. But finally, in verse 10, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We find that even though Paul had this weakness, God gave him the strength to go on with the weakness, to take the weakness and go with him. It's humbling to know that such a great man still had his weakness. We need to understand, even though we ask God for this and that and to help us take care of things in our lives, and we get no response, or the response is no, then we need to realize that God's given us the strength to go on with the weakness. You see, finding God's strength is not just taking out situations in your life, but making it so you can go on with that weakness. The Lord, even, or Christ, I think about His experience. He said, Lord, take this cup from me if it be possible. But did He? No, God gave Him the strength to go to the cross, to die for you and I. We look at God's strength, and if we're not looking in the right places for it, we'll never find it. I've got a song here for you, and I don't know, it's something about reading songs that just changes the whole attitude of a song. When you take away the music and look at the words, and it's a song by, actually many of the Christian artists today are singing it, but I think it became famous when the Barlow Girls sang it. It says, all of you is more than enough for all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. That's exactly what Paul said. He said, in every need, in every persecution, in everything, I looked to you and found you were more than enough for all of my needs. The next verse goes like this, you are my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You are my reward worth living for, still more awesome than I know. You're my sacrifice of greatest price, still more awesome than I know. You're my coming king, my everything, still awesome, more awesome than I know. You know, I got to thinking about that song and what it really means. You know, even when that day comes, we're looking forward to it. When God comes back and He takes us away, He reigns King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still more awesome than we'll ever know. That's amazing to me that God can be that for you and I. And you know, man is not alone. You see here, Paul, every time he's in trouble, he just cries out to God. You can go through the Scripture and find it in so many places where he just cries out to God. And He is more than enough for Paul in every situation. You know, when God first created man, I think about this, He wanted us to have that relationship. He knew it would be a bond between man and God. He knew that you and I shouldn't be able to live without Him, shouldn't be able to carry on to tomorrow without Him. And so He sent His Son at such great a price. In the song it says, you're my sacrifice of greatest price. God paid that for you and I so we could live with our relationship with Him and knowing that He would take care of us. You know, there's so many that are living today without that. And we need to realize, I believe it's in, you all know this verse, or at least verse 23 in Romans 3. It says in verse 22, "Even the righteous of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It's just like I said earlier. I can't be more righteous than you. You can't be more righteous than me. It's only through God can we become righteous. And it says, even the righteous man has sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God. We'll never amount to what God is. As the song minister comes, I want to point out that if you're here and you're longing for that relationship with God, if you're longing for the strength and everything, if you're longing for rest, God says, come unto me and I will give you rest. I believe Paul, he said, I let God's strength rest upon me. You know, it's only when we look at God and find His strength to deal with every situation in our life that we'll be able to find rest.
Hymn number 382, let's all stand.